B-Pod Studios.
Hello?
You have some water?
Pull your head out of your ass!
It is 97.5, the Fanatic, 3-1 to go. Mikey missed at 2 o'clock. It's Jason Mertedis, Anthony off today, Pat Egan. Along for the ride, 610-632-0975. For the first time today, we've got some open lines. If you want to jump on, talk about any of the issues, including obviously the Deshaun Jackson fallout, and we'll see. Ask Zach Berman. Does he expect Jeff Lurie or Howie Roseman to make themselves available? And Zach says he doesn't think so. So, I mean, I think he should. I think he should have made himself available back in 2013.
Well, usually he makes himself available during the owners' meetings, right? He does, like, the State of the Eagles address.
That's been hit or miss the last bunch of years, too.
Yeah, but in that, that's an area where he probably would have been asked about it, but I don't think they're going to have that this year.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind having our own State of the Union for each team at some point, too. Maybe we'll do that next week.
That'd be cool.
We can kind of look at each team and have a State of the Union and find out what's going on. Hold on a second. My daughter's calling me.
Are you serious?
Honey, I'm on the air. I'm going to have to call you back later. Okay?
Are you serious right now?
Yeah. You'd think she'd know by now.
Why would she do that?
Done this her whole life.
Well, it could have been an emergency.
Well, she should text me in the emergency. That's 610-632-0975. So you answered your MVP, most improved, biggest disappointment, and community favorite on and off the field for the Phillies and the Sixers. So she just texted me, said, is my laptop done? So let me take you into the Philadelphia Eagles, Pat. Who will your MVP be?
Hey, I got to go with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that's a layup.
It's chalk.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's easy. Now, and because that's the easy one, and really we should take that one away, okay. I'll go Miles Sanders.
Okay. So Miles Sanders is going to be, okay, well, let's take Wentz out of it because he's the quarterback. It's the most important position in the sport. He's your franchise player. Okay, so you're going to go Sanders. I agree it could be Sanders as well. I think he's going to be really good this year. I look at a guy like Goddard. Is he going to take a big step? But you also still have Zach Ertz here. So that minimizes the amount of impact that he'll have. And obviously Ertz and Wentz have great chemistry together. So most improved player for the Eagles coming up this season will be?
I will go with Matt Pryor.
Matt Pryor.
Because he's not going to have a choice.
Okay, better. what about Dillard?
Very possible because my approval rating for Dillard is low. I'm not expecting much out of him.
Yeah.
I'm expecting them to...
He's such an important position.
He is. And, you know, you look at what the Eagles have been able to do at the left tackle position, and it reminds me a lot of what the Packers were able to do with the quarterback position, but... less magnified because it's a position that you don't necessarily watch a lot.
Yeah.
The offensive line. But they were able to go from Trey Thomas. They had a stopgap there with, you know, Winston Justice. But basically they went from Trey Thomas to a Hall of Famer in Jason Peters.
Yeah.
You had a wall there.
You haven't had an issue there since the 90s, basically.
And now you have an issue there. And you have an issue at the one position that's supposed to protect the blind side of a quarterback who's prone to injury. So, I don't have a lot of faith in it. I think in 3 or 4 years, they could very well be looking for still their left tackle of the future. But yeah, he could totally premier all.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a guy. My mic just went off. I could see a guy. I think you turned me off, by the way, instead of you. I could see a guy like maybe you look at as a most improved player, maybe Jalen Mills, but he's taking over for Malcolm. That's a tough spot.
The two names that I was thinking of immediately were Matt Pryor, because he could be forced into action. But the other name I thought of was Sidney Jones.
Yeah, I was just going to bring him up.
And this is probably me convincing myself. You know, I'm Charlie Brown with that football, just running.
That pedigree's going to pay.
Full steam ahead. But, you know, there's a good chance that game 2, game 3, I'm sitting there going, Jesus, what were you doing back in July talking up Sidney Jones? But he did look decent.
It's flashes.
Yeah, he flashed.
Ortega Whiteside?
No.
Okay.
No, that's he will never...
How about biggest disappointment? Could it be Jalen Mills?
No, and to no fault of his own, really, but it's going to be Jalen Hurts. And it's going to be a disappointment because he's not getting on the field.
Is that a disappointment that he's not on the field?
Yeah, then that's the question, though. Is it a disappointment? But it's more of a disappointment of you took a player still in the second round that I can't get over that. If you want to go with on-the-field productivity?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's... Then I'll go Jalen Mills at the safety position.
Okay. You go Mills there then, okay? Because, yeah, I mean, he's going to be a backup, Hurts, and I guess he's going to be the third string guy.
But yeah, and that's the thing. You drafted a position this second round that you hope you never see.
Is he even activated?
And necessarily, that's the problem. Is he the disappointment? No, I guess you're right. He's not.
The disappointment's already happened.
The disappointment already happened, yes, exactly.
And it's nothing against him.
No, it is nothing against him. But it's like drafting a kicker when you already have a kicker. All right, one position's a little more important than the other, but you get my point.
Yeah, community favorite on and off the field of play. Is this Brandon Graham? Is it?
Brandon Graham's up there. I mean, the 180 that he's done with the public, myself included, by the way, who just harped on the fact that you passed over Earl Thomas, and now he's a fan favorite. Like, he jokes around, he comes on.
Yeah, he's got a great personality.
Yeah, he's up there. I will actually go with the other side of the ball, Lane Johnson.
Okay.
Lane Johnson, man, is one of the most personable, down-to-earth players on that team that is willing to speak his mind. This is a guy who got criticized for saying, yeah, but New England, they don't have fun. I haven't heard many people apologize to him for that, because Tom Brady goes down to Tampa Bay and texts his quarterbacks coach, yeah, now I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Like, people have been leaving Tampa Bay, or they've been leaving New England saying, I'm having fun. This guy said it years ago and got ripped for it. He's not scared to speak his mind about, you know, just the fun issues, I guess. Not the serious issues, but the fun issues.
Yeah.
So I think
fans, and he's a great player.
And he's a great player, exactly.
Yeah, so he checks every box. All right, we'll do your Flyers list coming up at 610-632-0975. We can throw these to callers as well. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Jason and Voorhees on the Fanatic. Hey, Jay.
What's going on, Jason? How you doing?
Doing good, man.
Very good. Now, given the fact, I'm going to mention the fact that I am white, I am Jewish as well, but I just wanted to kind of put it out there that basically whatever the case was, I didn't read too much into it, I just heard about it, but if Riley Cooper gets away with that different kind of ignorance, then I kind of feel like DeSean Jackson should, not saying that he shouldn't get any disciplinary action as far as a fine or whatever, but terminating him off the team just because he did that and Riley Cooper got away with it. My thing is this: if you basically terminate him, it's going to create more racial injustice. It, even though it's not about that, it still might. A lot of people are very emotional, and it might bring that upon what's going on. And like I said, and even if it has nothing to do with racial injustice going on, it's going to feed into that, and especially during a specific time and place that we're living in right now, what's going on.
Yeah, you're right. Somebody brought that up yesterday. It's an interesting thing because people are going to freak out if, you know, obviously DeSean gets this strict punishment and Riley Cooper didn't. I get that reaction. My point to it was that no matter what, the owner needs to speak out and say we made a mistake in 2013. No matter what they decide to do, this owner needs to come back to 2013 in some way, shape, or form and say, we made a mistake back then.
Right. And I just want to kind of give a shout out to a girl named Asia. She wanted me to do it. I just wanted to do that before we hung up. But again, I appreciate you taking my call because I kind of felt like this was an interesting topic, very, you know, political. But I just thank you.
All right, Jay. Hey, man, appreciate the call. Have a good weekend. And you gave your shout out to Asia. Good job. Let's go to Rob in Willow Grove on the Fanatic. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Hey, good, man. It's great. Great to hear your voice on the waves, man. Miss you.
Thank you.
Good to hear you.
Missed you, too.
Yeah, I just, you know, the Eagles are in a tough spot here, man. The Eagles are in a real tough spot. You know, these athletes and guys like DeSean, I feel sometimes that, you know, maybe there's an unfair pressure on these guys, maybe to speak up sometimes more than what they normally would. And I don't know, because I've never been in their position. It's just, you know, I just feel like if you or me or anyone were to sit down with DeSean right now and have a conversation with him, you know, do I really think that DeSean, you know, doesn't like Jewish people or anything like that? I don't. I just think it's, you know, it's a matter of education a little bit, I think. And I really like what Julian Edelman did. You know, he reached out.
Yeah.
You know, that, and he said this is a great opportunity to have a conversation.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And that's kind of my point. My point of the call, you know, I'm trying to be quick about it. My point of the call is somebody, you know, this is tough. This is probably the toughest time that I can remember. I'm going to be 40 in December. So, you know, I haven't seen it all, but I've seen a lot. And, you know, this is tough. But, some, you know, together as a people, you know, we're going to have these tough, tough conversations, because the only way for us to move forward is to not go backwards, if that makes sense. And that's tough, because like you just said, someone from the Eagles organization is going to have to step up and say they made a mistake with Riley Cooper.
Yeah, you got to own it. You're going to have to own it. I totally agree. And I don't know that they will. I tend to think that they won't. They need to. You got to recognize the mistakes you've made in your past to move forward in a positive direction. I totally agree with you.
Absolutely. You know, that's what I try to teach my children. You know, I feel like I'm fortunate because, you know, I grew up in Northeast Philly. You know, like I said, I was born in 1980. I grew up idolizing black athletes. I mean, MJ, you name it, Ozzie Smith. I even loved Grant Fuhr, you know, a goaltender for the Oilers back in the day. I thought
Hall
he
of
was
Famer.
A pioneer.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's, you know, I don't know. I feel lucky because I grew up with that mixed pot. I have friends of all different shapes, sizes, colors, and so do my kids. But a lot of the others out there don't. And
yeah.
That's where these conversations need to happen. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Rob, who's your favorite team?
My favorite team?
Your favorite team in Philadelphia.
My favorite team is the Flyers. Always has been.
All right, let me put you through the Flyers quiz then here. So who's the MVP so far of the Flyers season?
You know what? I'm going to have to step up and say, I'm going to have to say Giroux for keeping it all together.
All right. He didn't win it, by the way. Sean Couturier did. They just announced that. The most improved player from the Flyers.
I'm going to say Couturier.
All right. I disagree with that one too. But to me, he was my MVP. But biggest disappointment.
I'll be honest with you, James. Flyers are my favorite, but this year with everything going on, I'll be honest. I really haven't watched as much as I should.
All right, well, who's your favorite?
As much as I'd like to.
My
favorite player. My favorite player on the Flyers is probably Konechny.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, man. Thank you, Rob. Be good. 610-632-0975. The MVP, Pat, and we got the four-pronged test here.
Yeah.
We've done it now for the Phillies, where you had McCutchen as the MVP. You had Haseley as the most improved, going to be this season. Biggest disappointment will be Wheeler. And the community favorite on and off the field for you was either McCutchen or Harper.
Yeah.
For the Sixers, you had Ben as the MVP. Shake is the most improved. Embiid is the biggest disappointment. But also, Embiid is the community favorite on and off the field. For the Eagles, we took Wentz out of the equation, so you went Sanders will be the MVP. The most improved player will be Matt Pryor. The biggest disappointment will either be Jalen Hurts or Mills. And your community favorite on and off the field is Lane Johnson. So you're MVP of the Flyers. And you do a lot of the Flyers games, and you're a hockey guy.
Yeah, love hockey.
Who's your MVP from this past season?
Can I go coach?
Yeah.
Can I go Alain Vigneault?
Yeah, you could do that. That's interesting.
Actually, I might go above the coach. I might go Chuck Fletcher.
You're going to go GM.
I might go GM because he didn't just hire the coach. He surrounded the coach with great assistant coaches.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just, all right, let's stop the boat.
That's the coach recruiting his staff too, but yeah, you're right.
But he's willing to go out there and say, okay, yeah, we'll bring in Michelle Therrien, a former veteran coach. We'll bring in Mike Yeo, a former coach. Great job by him.
Okay.
I wasn't enamored with some of the moves he made before the season, but they panned out. Like Matt Niskanen. Okay, on the surface, Matt Niskanen for Radko Gudas was a good move, and I knew that at the time. I didn't think that they were going to get a high-level player in Matt Niskanen, and he's playing at a high level. So
at 33.
Most of his moves, Chuck Fletcher, have worked out, and I got to give him credit for that.
And Kevin Hayes, obviously.
Yeah.
Most improved player?
Most improved.
Scott Laughton won the award.
Yeah, and it's hard to argue that. I know Josh Rabick in the back there, he's all Laughtoned up. It's hard not to give it to Laughton because he won the award, but I'll give it to Travis Konechny because I feel like he took it to a new level this year.
He was an all-star. Okay. Biggest disappointment?
Haven't been many. Shane Gostisbehere.
Yeah.
With a new coaching staff, you figured, okay, maybe he can regain that form that he had, and even with a new coaching staff, he hasn't been able to.
Okay. The community favorite on and off the field of play?
Carter Hart.
It's a good one.
Okay. I mean, his ability in interviews to come off as very down to earth.
Humble.
Very humble, yeah.
Yet mature, 21.
Yeah, insanely mature. And also the excitement level that these fans have been waiting for since Hextall retired to get a franchise goalie. And he is the real deal.
Yeah. The community favorite winner for the team, as voted by the fans, was Kevin Hayes.
And I get that, too. I mean, he's very personable, too.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed to gel with the city right away. He does a lot of stuff with Barstool. I know that. And that's obviously a very popular website. So I get it. He's very... very personable. I'll give it to Carter Hart, though, but I have no objection with
that. That's a good one. That's absolutely a good one. I went Couturier MVP. Most improved, I went Lawton. Biggest appointment, I agree, Ghost. And for the community one, I'll go Carter Hart with you. I like that suggestion. 610-632-0975.
He's scary good, man. I don't have to tell you, but...
Yeah, and that's going to be the question kind of going into the playoffs. You know, he's never played in the NHL playoffs. Did play for his country in World Juniors and stuff, but... And who knows what any of these teams are going to be, both in the NBA and the NHL, when they return here in a couple of days.
Yeah, and what happens, too, if we saw it in the MLS, the team, I think in Dallas, Dallas FC came down, basically their entire team got decimated by the coronavirus. They had to pull out of that MLS's back tournament.
Yeah.
And what happens if that happens in the NHL?
Yeah,
I mean, most of these players are staying at the same hotel, and there's two hotels they're staying at.
Yeah.
Flyers, by the way, they're I believe the Penguins and the Capitals. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay, the top five teams.
Yeah, but I guess my point
hotel
is
Hotel X. It's called.
You're having to stay with a couple of teams there you're not really friendly with. I mean, I don't. Tom Wilson's going to get mugged.
Could
like
be bar fights is what you're saying. The hotel bar.
Tom Wilson's going to end up getting mugged like it's a Full Metal Jacket when they end up beating you with a bar of soap. It's going to happen to Tom Wilson, but
private pile.
Yeah, but I mean, they're all kind of staying in the same area, and same with the NBA and all that. But what happens if a team ends up coming down with the coronavirus? Because the scariest thing about this disease is some of the people walking around, you don't know you have it, obviously, but you're not showing symptoms. Like,
yeah.
Donovan Mitchell wasn't showing symptoms, and then if Rudy Gobert doesn't come down with it, right? Because Rudy Gobert had the symptoms. So he gets tested, and all of a sudden you start testing everybody. But if Rudy Gobert is also asymptomatic, and then Donovan Mitchell, it spreads. So now you've got two players on the team who don't know they have it, and it's quickly spreading. So and they play that game, by the way, and then it spreads throughout the league. What happens in that situation if a team ends up coming down with it? They're going to have to pull out.
Yeah,
it's uncharted territory.
Yeah, you could see a team in a conference final in the NBA or the NHL that has to go, we can't field a team because too many people either tested positive or been exposed to it, and we don't know how many have it at this point. And, you know, you don't take a test and boom, there's a result. It's not like, you know, peeing on a stick for a woman and a pregnancy test.
Yeah, and you know, it's not a good sign when a guy like Buster Olney, who is the preeminent, one of them at least, an amazing baseball reporter, says, yeah, I don't really have a lot of faith that we're going to have a season.
Yeah, or finish it.
And that's the thing is, I think all these leagues will start. Are they going to be able to finish? I think the NHL has the best chance because they avoided this country. And I think the NBA will push through. But I think football is going to have a tough time. And I think baseball, I don't think there's a shot they finish.
Okay.
Especially because Rob Manfred has said, if an entire team comes down with it, they're going to have to pull out.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be... Again, the list of uncertainties so far outweighs the list of things we know for certain. And how it all plays out is going to be anyone's guess. It's going to be crazy. The idea of returning and the way these leagues have all kind of approached it has changed minute to minute, day to day. It's changing constantly, evolving and changing. So we'll see how it plays out. And the Eagles coaching staff is reporting this weekend. They'll get their testing done and then go into quarantine before the rookies report in a couple of weeks. And I guess 18 days from now is when the full team is slated to return to begin the training camp for the 2020 NFL season. We'll see what that entails and how they handle, you know, social distancing in locker rooms with that many players being in camp, upwards of close to 90 players. How they're going to handle it is anyone's guess. And Ian Rappaport's report earlier that they still have a lot of work to do. They've figured out some of the protocols the NFL has, but they're not there on everything yet. We don't even know if they're going to play any preseason games or not. There's still two on the schedule right now. Will they end up playing them is a big question for the NFL as that gets closer and closer and the return of sports. Now just about 2 weeks away for Major League Baseball and the winter sports, NBA and NHL, about 3 weeks away from getting back to it. And again, we'll see, A, if they get there to even start it, and B, if they can complete it. And we all hope that happens. We all hope that it's safe as possible. We have no idea what the tipping point is as far as positive cases to a point where they say we got to shut it down. We have no idea of any of that information. Here's the number, 610-632-0975. We continue to talk about the issues here and DeSean Jackson and what the question I want to ask for the last half hour of the show. And if you call in, I just want to get a definitive answer on this. What should the Eagles do right now? And there's a couple of avenues. Should Jeff Lurie, Howie Roseman, the two of them together, have a Zoom conference call and address this issue? Should they fine DeSean Jackson? Should they suspend DeSean Jackson? Should they cut him? Whatever you believe and your rationale, how should the Eagles handle this situation now? Don't let it keep festering. Handle it now. Make yourself available. The statement was, okay, you get that out right away. But should they address this fan base? 610-632-0975. Anthony off today. It is the midday show. Mikey Miss is coming up at 2 o'clock. Pat Egan alongside Jason Martinez. We're right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
So quit asking. 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason Martinez, Anthony off today. 610-632-0975. I'm going to get back to the phones in just a minute. Got some open lines if you want to grab them. Weigh in on what the Eagles should do in regards to DeSean Jackson, how they should handle this situation. Should Jeff Lurie, Howie Roseman have an availability via Zoom, I would assume, and address this issue head on? Jeff Lurie does not come out and speak and make himself available very often. It seemed like for a while there he was doing the yearly State of the Union, State of the Eagles address. Then it kind of went away for a couple of years. Then he did it again.
Yeah, it was really cool when it went away. I was all about that.
I was in favor of him doing it.
I don't need to hear from the owner. Ever.
I do. I think it's important to hear from the owner.
And I like Jeffrey Lurie. I think he does a good job.
I think once a year you should hear from him. Like, I don't go watch games because of the owner. I go to watch games to watch players. But
yeah, I don't need to hear from Jeffrey Lurie.
I mean, I think this is a situation that he should probably weigh in on, right?
But
and coupled with the mistake of 2013.
I think the Eagles are waiting for another story to kind of sweep this under the rug, but at the same time, what is he going to what could he tell you that's going to make you feel better about the situation? Is there anything that he can tell you that's going to make you feel better?
You know what would make me feel a little bit better? I heard an admission that we made a huge mistake back in 2013. Now
nobody admits they're wrong in 2020. That's one of the problems we have as society. You can't admit you're wrong.
I do it all the time.
Okay. I'm not coming at you. I'm just saying as a society.
It's not hard.
It's taboo to admit, oh my God, I was wrong, because you're going to get ripped. So he's not going to do that. He's not going to come out and say we made a huge mistake. I think they know that. Zach Berman talked about it when he was on with us.
Well, he alluded to, in that story with Zach Berman in 2014, that Chip kind of led the way on that. But he's the owner of the franchise. He's the steward. He's got to admit that he made the mistake and letting Chip influence him in so many ways. But in particular to the Riley Cooper situation. So should he address Eagles Nation and make himself available to the reporters? I think that he should.
I don't. I don't think he should. If he does, okay. But I don't think I'm not going to demand that I hear from the owner on this situation. Them not doing anything already, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to punish him. They're not going to suspend him for a bunch of games.
You think he gets a fine?
Even if he gets a fine, I don't think.
What do you think he should get? Pat Egan, to you as an independent arbitrator.
I think you should get sensitivity training and a fine. I don't even know if he gets that.
And some community work going forward.
Community work would be great. If he did, that'd be awesome. If he volunteered at like a local synagogue or did some charity work for a Jewish group or
Julian Edelman, obviously, on his offer.
It'd be cool if he did like an appearance at the Jewish American Sports Museum, which is downtown near the Federal Reserve. That'd be awesome if he did an appearance there for charity. But then I don't know. I don't think they're going to do anything. I really don't. So them not doing anything told you what Jeffrey Lurie's stance is.
Now, Julian Edelman did tweet out and said, DeSean and I spoke for a while last night. We were making plans to use our experiences to educate one another and grow together. Stay tuned. And he tweeted that actually this morning and tagged DeSean Jackson in it. So what that means, I'm not sure how they're going to move forward. But Julian Edelman has kind of taken this head on and is going to try and make this into a good thing. ESPN's Tim McManus and 97.5 The Fanatics' Tim McManus reported that Jackson spoke with Eagles owner Jeff Lurie and general manager Howie Roseman, who were both Jewish, after the incident. And the team issued the statement on Tuesday, which we've all heard by now. We've spoken to DeSean Jackson about his social media posts, regardless of his intentions. The messages he shared were offensive, harmful, and absolutely appalling. They have no place in our society and are not condoned or supported in any way by the organization. We're disappointed and reiterated to DeSean the importance of not only apologizing, but also using his platform to take action to promote unity, equality, and respect. We're continuing to evaluate the circumstances and will take appropriate action. We take these matters very seriously and are committed to continuing to have productive and meaningful conversations with DeSean, as well as all of our players and staff, in order to educate, learn, and grow. So we'll see exactly what happens, how the Eagles do deal with this.
I think it's worth mentioning, though, I'm not demanding to hear from the owner, but I'm not Jewish. So if somebody that is Jewish is demanding to hear from the owner because they were the ones that were offended by these comments.
I'm not Jewish, but I was offended by it.
I get it, but I'm not, like, I don't know what the owner could tell me that would make me feel better about this situation.
Yeah, and I don't think Jeff Lurie should meet with the media just because he's Jewish. I think he, as the steward of the franchise, should meet with the media and, you know, or directly put out a statement, not from the Eagles, but from him, at a minimum. We'll see. I mean, he, in the statement that they did put out, it said, "We are continuing to evaluate the circumstances and will take appropriate action." We haven't heard what those evaluations of the circumstances have deemed just yet, and we don't know what the appropriate action is. How long that takes, I'm not sure. 610-632-0975, that is the number. Let's go to Randall in Philly. He joins us on the Fanatic. Hey, Randall.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
Yeah, I've just been hearing up on that DeSean Jackson situation, and to me, it's kind of like, I get, like, it was like what he said was kind of, like, messed up to an extent, but there's no way that was the same, like, the same amount, like, how Riley Cooper did. Like, there's no way that you can say that was as worse as what Cooper did.
And well, somehow, I look at him individually. I don't look at him as a competition. Riley Cooper's was, if you want to call it worse, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but his was with malice.
So, because that was hatred coming out of Riley Cooper's.
Yeah.
Of anger. Seeing that. And DeSean Jackson was speaking, thinking he's saying something intelligent. You know what I'm saying? So, without actually, I guess, doing a lot of research on everything, because I heard that somebody said that was a fake quote or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they cut DeSean Jackson for this, I swear to God, bro, I would not be Eagles fan, bro, if they do that. Because there is no way that you keep Cooper and you sign him an extra contract after him saying something like that. But DeSean Jackson, they're giving him that much backlash on that? Like, I swear I didn't hear this much backlash on Cooper. Like,
yeah, I don't think that the punishment for DeSean should be predicated on Cooper. Because you made a mistake in the past doesn't mean you should make a mistake going forward. Now, I agree with you. I don't think DeSean should be cut. Because I don't think that punishment fits this crime. You know what I mean? But I don't think that you go back, well, we made a mistake in 2013, so we can make a mistake now. Like, if an Eagle player, a white player, were at a concert now and did the same thing that Riley Cooper did, and it was caught on camera and the circumstances were the same, I wouldn't say, hey, they shouldn't cut that guy because they didn't cut Riley Cooper. I would say they should cut that guy, too. And because they didn't cut Riley Cooper, shouldn't be a precedent, because it's not the right precedent. You should get it right.
My thing is Jeff, with Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, how could they be a part of this team and allow Cooper to still be on the team after him doing that? Like, that's just my whole thing. Like, because, you know, it's not like doing something that he actually cut him or something like that. But silence to me is consent. So, like, how could they, you know, not do anything about that? Like, because that means they think it's okay if they didn't cut him or make an example.
Yeah, I think they gave him a fine and sensitivity training is what they gave him. And you're right, they eventually signed him to an extension.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy. And at the time, Randall, if I go back to try and recapture how I felt, I thought that was the wrong thing to do.
For sure. Well, Chip Kelly was also the wrong coach, but we're not going to get into that one.
On so many levels, you're absolutely right. Hey, Randall, thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, man.
You just brought up something that if a white player today had basically done the exact same thing that Riley Cooper would do, you wouldn't say, oh, well, we have to keep the white player because, well, we kept Riley Cooper. That's the difference, though, is that if it was a white player, you're able to redo things. You're able to change the narrative here and kind of fix it.
Because it's apples to apples.
But, yeah, but you can't, not with this situation. You can't. The optics of, if you cut
a punishing a black man for what you're deeming as a similar crime.
Exactly. As a white guy, you can't do it. And I don't think that Deshaun should be cut. I don't. I think he made an egregious mistake and probably was ill-informed on the situation and probably didn't realize exactly what he was doing. But even if you think he is cut, he should be cut, you can't because of the Riley Cooper situation. It has nothing to do with, well, it's a player and player. No, unfortunately, this is a situation of black versus white. You can't cut the black player because of the fact that you let...
Because you let a bad
white guy.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a good player. Let's call it what it is. He was a special teams player when he did this.
Yeah,
and you kept him.
I remember, well, he wasn't at that time because he was actually a starter because Jeremy Maclin.
He was going into being a starter, but my point is, it wasn't a situation where, oh my God, take my left arm, don't take Riley Cooper. You could have gone out on the free agent market and found a similar Riley Cooper that season.
I totally agree. And I remember some people saying that, like, why are we keeping Riley Cooper? He ain't even that good anyway. So I don't like that line of thinking because that's, well, if he's a really good player, and he says that he gets away with it.
But unfortunately, that is the reality that we live in. All right. I mean, and this isn't to this extent, but I think it was Jimmy Johnson who cut like a seventh round running back one time.
And Bill Parcells, yeah.
It was Bill Parcells, yeah. And would you cut Emmitt Smith? No, because Emmitt Smith is good.
Yeah.
Deshaun Jackson is a productive player when he's on the field.
Emmitt Smith gives me 1,400 yards a year.
Yeah, and I think it was...
Joe Blow gives me nothing.
I think it was Mike who we had a promo going into one of our breaks that said it of, yeah, I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite here, but the fact is, you can't ignore the fact that Deshaun Jackson's productive when he's on the field with this situation, and that's going to play a part in it. Can we release Deshaun Jackson for this situation when he is a productive member when he's on the field?
From a football standpoint.
In a position of need. While on the surface, yes, that shouldn't be a part of it, it is a part of
it. That's reality, and a general manager and an ownership is trying to put a team out there to have the most success possible, and he helps you in that regard. Again, if he's healthy. Stan in Lafayette Hill joins us on the Fanatic. Stanley.
Hello, how are you?
Doing good, Stan.
So we're comparing what happened, what it was 6 or 7 years ago with today, and we keep going back and forth. But we need to show that we've grown as people.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't compare one to the other. We're supposed to have grown at this point, and we should be looking at these actions totally different, and these things should be totally unacceptable. I mean, 200 years ago, we used to beat people with whips. So, I mean, you can go back as far as you want and find something that's not acceptable. But if we're just going to pass on this, and nothing good is going to, nothing that means anything to anybody's going to come out of it, then we definitely have not grown as a society. Well,
and you see it now, Stan, so much, like with the Redskins changing, eventually going to change their name, it looks like, and the Confederate flag now being banned. That's evolution because they were symbols of, offensive to people, and they are, just because they have been around for a long time doesn't mean we should move forward with them.
But basically, I agree with you, and you know what? And if we go and we take an action on all these things that you brought up and we leave this one just go in the wind and ignore it, then
that's my point.
That's a terrible ignorance.
Yeah, to me, because you made a mistake in the past doesn't mean you should continue to make mistakes in the future.
Right. So if we're going to move on, we have to move on in an entirety. All right, so there has to be something associated with it that's going to let people know that this was not acceptable, other than just saying it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
So that's just words.
Well, what is acceptable punishment?
You know what? Is it the individual? I don't think so. I'm going to attribute that to his just plain ignorance. But that's not going to educate society. I'd like to see him and they're trying to educate people about certain things about African Americans, and I'm totally behind that. Maybe more things about Judaism should come out. Because anti-Semitism is alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
Always has been. Okay?
Yep.
And it's easy to hide because don't forget, most Jewish people are white. So they're sort of camouflaged. But you know what? Anti-Semitism is a horrible thing. So why don't we just go and try to do the same thing? And as a society, let's just move forward and not have so much hatred.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem, too, is people can hide behind their hatred so easily in a social media world where you can create an alter ego.
I think this has, though, brought on, shined a light on the anti-Semitism that you, he brought it up. I mean, a lot of Jewish people are white. You don't necessarily notice it too much. And I haven't thought about anti-Semitism in I don't know how long.
Yeah, it's not something that's on your radar every day.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, it's out there. And I brought it up earlier. It really shouldn't be that hard to be a good person. And yet it seems like it is. And just stop hating other groups for being different. I mean,
well, if
that's I think, how we evolve as a society, is just not hating other people for being different than you.
If this has anything good about it, it's that it's created that awareness.
Yeah. It has.
It's like with George Floyd, too. They said, you know, he didn't die in vain. There's going to be change because of his murder.
Yeah, but because that was, what, a month and a half or 2 months ago, whatever, and there was the big movement, if you release Deshaun Jackson, there's going to be outrage
because of the past precedent.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's the reality. While it'd be nice to move forward, and I think if this was apples to apples, you'd be able to do that and change. It's not apples to apples in this situation. It's
apples to tennis rackets.
Yeah, so you can't.
Yeah. Jay on the cell joins us on the Fanatic. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. What's going on, man?
How you doing?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, there we go. All right. So I'm a Jewish. I am white. I am Jewish. All four of my grandparents were Holocaust survivors. And if you heard the stories that my grandfather told my wife and I, she's not Jewish, but I am. You don't get rid of Deshaun Jackson because you know what happens? You get rid of him, another team picks him up, and then you got to go against him. Keep him on the team. You want to give him a fine. But you can't compare it to Riley Cooper because one thing has nothing to do with the other. It's apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I work for a Jewish nonprofit organization as well. And I have friends of all races and colors. And I got some backlash for a social media post that I shared or something. And it's media. The social media is what kills everybody. I mean, and everybody's so sensitive nowadays, it drives me up a wall. And it's a shame. I mean, I grew up in the 80s. I mean, you did something wrong, your parents hit you. God forbid I hit one of my kids right now. My neighbor's going to call on me or something. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he learns from his mistakes and let it go. That's all.
Well, there's got to be some kind of repercussion and some kind of, you know, parameter set to move forward for some accountability, right? So that's a fine and then, hey, you have to do certain things out in the community to not only educate yourself, but raise awareness that why this was offensive to people. And I think Julie Nelderman, and I really applaud what he did in contacting Deshaun, and they spoke, and I think that's good. I think that's good. That can help move it forward.
That's exactly what I did. Like, what I did was I friended on Facebook the Eagles, and I let them know my story, and I said, listen, we have the Jewish Sports Hall of Fame in my building, and I'm the point person for it. So I said, look, if he wants to learn, I'll be more than happy to welcome him to our building, and I can explain things to him, and I can tell him the stories that my grandfather told me about hiding under dead bodies while the Germans were coming to make sure they're dead. You know what I mean? It's not the same thing. So if he wanted to come, I'd be more than happy. I even sent a letter to the Eagles.
Good. I'm glad they did that, Jay. And I hope that the Eagles or Deshaun takes you up on that offer. I think it would be very productive to do that. Noah in Levittown's on the Fanatic. Hey, Noah.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
I'm calling. I mean, I've been, tuned into this thing since it started earlier this week. I listened to Joe Torti's show Tuesday. I listened to it last night, too, with Yvonne. I gotta say, I mean, this has been a really eye-opening thing for me as, like, a Jewish guy. Like, I really didn't know how many people felt this way, but, like, not just the team and not just the people on the team who, like, aren't speaking up and saying, you know, anything about what Deshaun has said. Like, the amount of just ordinary people who are calling in, like, defending him, you know, without even addressing the content of what his message was. Just, you know, so quick to compare it to the Riley Cooper situation, because it's, like, so in some way comparable, but, like, I mean, have we actually talked about, like, the content of what he put out there? About how he said that, like, Jews are, like, controlling the world, you know? About his actual, like, views? Because, like, I barely hear anybody bring that up. I barely hear anybody talk about, like, what that means to, you know, like, the Jewish community and, like...
Well, how does it make you feel?
I mean, it makes me feel horrible, man. It makes me feel bad, like... And it's crazy. It's crazy to think that, like, this is the team that I'm supposed to be rooting for, you know? These are the people who I'm supposed to... These are the people, too, who, like, I feel like, you know, I want to believe, like, we're trying to, like, build towards a better society. But, I mean, it's like, when people hold views like this, I mean, I'm stunned. I had no idea that people... That this many people thought this way about
that it was, you know, this prevalent
Jewish people as a group. I mean, it's nuts to me.
But you know the history of obviously, you know, what happened and with the Holocaust and everything else, but you didn't know it was this prevalent in today's society, is what you're saying?
No, not just with like ordinary people, man. I mean, it's just like dudes calling in from Philly, you know, from the area, you know, who just like to talk sports, who are just like, you know, they think that it's not a big deal. They think that it's like, and they want to make it.
They think they're just words. Yeah.
Black people in America. And it's like not a zero sum game. It's like the you know, the liberation and the, you know, the lifting up of black people doesn't have to come at the expense of, you know, another marginalized group. I just don't get it. And I don't get the fact that people on our team have said nothing. People in the NFL have said,
well, some guys have spoken out from the Eagles, and I brought up Malik Jackson. He was a guy that was, you know, was vocal about it and said in his post that here's what Malik Jackson said in regards to the DeSean Jackson situation. He said, "The Honorable Farrakhan is nothing like that vile scum Hitler. He speaks truth and believes in protection of self, and that scares your racist ass." He's replying to a guy, by the way. Second, DJAC did not quote anyone. He took a picture or a book that was to invoke thought and conversation. Now, and my issue with that was, look, I understand you want to come to the defense of your teammate, and that's important. I understand that that's what athletes do. That's that camaraderie. My problem with what Malik Jackson said was that, in regards to Louis Farrakhan, was that he used the words, "he speaks truth." And if you do some homework on Louis Farrakhan, there's a lot of anti-Semitic ideology that he has preached over many, many, many years.
Yeah,
many years.
I think one of the issues is, so there was a story earlier this week about a woman who threw her baby out of a burning building. And we were joking about the Aguilar guy because it was very similar to that.
Yeah, I saw the guy make that catch.
And then you find out that the woman died and the joke doesn't become funny anymore. But then you see the video attached to it, and I got choked up because that child looks just like my child.
Yeah.
And now I'm putting a face to it, I'm putting a video to it, and it's not just words. And
so it hits you.
I think for certain people, yes, you might know the story of the Holocaust, but do some research, just go back, just look at some pictures of what they were doing to these people. It is horrific.
Yeah.
Like it, and I'm not Jewish, but it is, it really puts into perspective of how bad it was.
You can't believe that it even happened.
Exactly. And you can sit there and say, okay, well, I'm aware that 6,000 or 6 million people were exterminated.
Yeah.
Literally. But once you see pictures of what went down, it is horrific. And I think that's why we're having so many people call it from the Jewish community and they're outraged. And I don't blame them for being outraged.
Yeah.
Because if I was a Jewish person, I probably would be in the exact same boat because they've been hearing this same crap for years. Just like a month and a half ago with Black Lives Matter. They've been dealing with this for years.
Yeah.
And it's just something that me and you don't realize because, you know, we're white Catholic guys.
Yeah. And like the Holocaust deniers, like how that could be offensive to a Jewish
started.
Yeah, give me a break.
That's ridiculous.
Dave in West Philly's on the Fanatic. Dave.
Yeah, and that exists in the... Hello?
Yo, Dave.
Yo, what's going on? How you doing?
Doing good, man.
Fantastic. Firstly, I just wanted to give you guys a little bit more information, very briefly about Islam when they were talking about, Farrakhan.
Yeah.
Farrakhan does not represent, the Muslim community at whole. He's just a group of people, the Nation of Islam, and he promotes hatred and he's like out of pocket, basically. That's all I got to say about him. Okay. As far as, DeSean Jackson, what he said, he was out of pocket too, okay? In this day and age, you know, he should have been more in tune to the sensitivities of all people involved, and he, you know, needed to stay within the realm of his scope of understanding. But at the same time, right, I would like to expound on the justice system whites versus blacks, and the overall...
Okay, you got to do it quickly. I'm up against it. Mikey Miss has got to come up next, bro.
Okay, okay. Well, it's a double standard, basically, as you guys are saying. And I give y'all credit for that because, you know, if a white guy does a crime, he gets a couple months or whatever. A black person does a crime, and they go away forever. And they're doing the same thing with DeSean Jackson. I don't think that that's fair.
Well, we'll see what they decide to do, Dave. Thanks for, sorry I had to cut you off. I love to give people the full Monty, but we got to go because Mikey Miss is coming up next. He's got you 2-6. Great dialogue from everybody this week. Great job, Pat. Thanks to everybody for listening. Have a great weekend. Stay healthy. Mike Miss up next right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.